Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's welcome aboard former Panthers quarterback. Jake Delhomme joins us now. It's been a while since we spoke. Good morning, Jake. How you doing, bud?
Jake, what's up?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. It's a Friday, Jake. So I think everyone's doing a little bit better on a Friday. Yeah, you know the deal. A lot of intriguing storylines when you look around the National Football League. Well, I get your thoughts on this, Jake, is let's start with Kyler Murray here. When you look at the former Oklahoma star, Heisman Trophy winner, we'll see what he measures out at. He was listed at 5'10 at Oklahoma. When you look at Murray, I know the offensive and the quarterback in terms of, you know, size being a detriment kind of with some guys, it's gone by the wayside. Obviously we saw that last year with Baker Mayfield going number one overall, but you know, he was close to 6 feet tall. When you look at Kyler Murray, do you think his game translates to the NFL?
I think his game now does, the way the kind of NFL game is going, the sound break football, so to speak. Most of the teams are starting to go in the way you really can't touch a quarterback as much anymore. So I think it translates now. I've seen Russell Wilson up close and in person, and Russell's not the tallest guy, but he is extremely thick. I mean, Russell is he's a grown man.
Right,
he's extremely
right.
thick. Drew Brees, same thing, a six-footer, but extremely long arms. You know, Drew's got a very big reach with his arms. Baker obviously did some good things last year. Very impressed with the Murray kid, watching him play this year. Very accurate, and just how he can get out of trouble. And that's, you know, if he couldn't move the way he did, I think that'd be an issue. But listen, the way this game's gone and the way he can move, I think he can manage and do just fine.
Okay, that's an interesting take right there. So Jake, let me ask you a complete opposite deal when you talk about quarterbacks, from Kyler Murray to Joe Flacco, a veteran who's 6'6". And all the success he's had in Baltimore and his legitimacy, past couple of years, not so hot. But how do you think Joe Flacco will play in Denver? Right move for moving him there? What do you think?
Well, obviously they need to find an answer there. I guess they're going to give up on the Case Keenum experiment pretty quick.
Right.
You know, Flacco, I still think he can play, and they're going to go back to the Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan type of offense with the new offensive coordinator coming over from San Fran. And Joe did have some success running in that system. So they need to get some help around them, to be very honest.
Absolutely.
That's a poor offensive line in Denver. They need to improve that offensive line, get a tight end. You need a tight end that can play there. And obviously you have the Emmanuel Sanders and the kid from SMU, Cortland. I can't remember his last name. But so there are some pieces. I still think there's some years left in Flacco that he can be productive. Because, look, it's proven. You can win with a 6'5 quarterback with a tight end and a fullback like New England does, or you can kind of win, kind of spreading it all out and kind of trick play type of football. So both have proven you can win in the NFL, and then – so I think both of them kind of come in. So you can do anything in the NFL right now. I just think the rules are catered so much towards offense that it makes such an advantage for the offenses right now.
You know, Jake, when you look at your former team, Carolina, here, how concerned are you with Cam Newton? We know that the season came off the hinges after he suffered that shoulder injury, and it got progressively worse after that Eagle comeback victory. And we know that he had a procedure here this offseason so far. Where do you think Cam is physically, and how concerned are you about Newton, who has taken a lot of hits? A big guy, unbelievable athlete, but Newton here moving forward at the quarterback spot.
Look, let's be honest. I'm pretty concerned. You have to be. Because it's not like he's not going to take less hits. I mean, Cam Newton has played the quarterback position pretty much – In essence, unlike any other quarterback we've ever seen play the position. And the hits that he takes, the repetitive hits, I want to say, what, 8-9 years of these repetitive hits, and it takes a toll on you. So I'm anxious to see if a hit doesn't bring him back to where he was, you know, because Cam, it's hard to change your style of play. That's where he's been so successful, and that's where he's so dangerous, is him being able to stand in the pocket, take those monster shots, on a 4th-and-1, run through a defensive lineman, not even necessarily a linebacker, to get the first down. So that's going to be very interesting to see how he comes back. And was it something that a surgery fixed, or is this something that's been a repetitive injury over time? And, you know, for the time starts to creep in just with all these cumulative hits over and over and over again.
Well, speaking of that, you know, Moose and I here, we talk a lot about that when it comes to Cam Newton, but especially when we start talking about the guy who just got done with his rookie season with Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. You know, Jake, like he's, you know, he's taking those same type hits. He's a similar type runner, but yet more, he's a younger guy, he's much more frail, like a lighter weight, not as thick, as not as big as a Cam Newton. Are you concerned when you watch him play? Do you think he needs to evolve and change his game, Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think you just need to be smart and know how to not take those big hits. Listen, am I concerned with these quarterbacks getting hit a ton? Absolutely. I mean, it's going to add up. I was in the division with Michael Vick my whole career, first with New Orleans and then Carolina. So I saw Michael. And towards the end, Michael could still run, and he could still throw it.
Right.
It's just the hits, he would fumble more. And I went through the same thing. If you sneezed on me hard toward the latter part of my career, I fumbled. Because you break your thumb so many times, you break fingers so many times, that's not never reported. But you just start to lose the strength that you had. Those repetitive hits over and over again, they can add up. Now, Lamar is still very young. He'll be able to bounce back really quick. But the key is to know when to make those big runs and when to listen. There might be a little more chicken left on the bone, but let me get out of bounds right here. Let me slide right here just to kind of protect yourself.
Yeah, we're talking to Jake Delhomme, former Carolina, former Saint quarterback, now retired, a great player, certainly, and played in one of the great Super Bowls, Jake. And, you know, that game down in Houston, you know, I was lucky enough to be in attendance that day in that Houston Super Bowl between yourself and Brady and Belichick and the New England Patriots. It was an unbelievable second half and a tremendous performance. Unfortunately, it went New England's way for you guys. But when you look at the continued brilliance, do you marvel? I mean, you're well into retirement now. You look at Brady. You know, he's into his 40s, just won his 6th Super Bowl. He's played in 9. I mean, for a guy that played at the position at such a high level as you did, Jake, you got to marvel at what Brady's been able to do here.
I just tip my hat. I really and truly do. I pull for the guy. One, he's a really good guy. He's a great teammate. But he's just a hell of a quarterback. And just to watch that Kansas City game in that weather that Sunday night, some of the throws that he made, it was spectacular, and he controlled the game. And the thing about the Super Bowl, yeah, you hear so many people complaining because it wasn't one of these PlayStation number football games. It was fantastic. The two best coaches on the field was a 66-year-old Belichick and a 71-year-old Wade Phillips. So it put to bed all these old guys can't coach philosophy. And then Tom Brady, what does he do? Tom struggled early on. I mean, you could see it. He was a little confused with what Wade was doing. So what does Tom do? The ultimate game manager, and which is, I think, the highest compliment you can ever give a quarterback, by the way. I can't stand when people say game manager. They don't think that's a compliment. Tom Brady realizes they cannot score. I'm just going to take what they give me, and when it's time to strike, we're going to strike because they can't do anything against our defense. And that's all he did.
Well,
and sure enough, it came through.
It sure did. And to that point you just made about they, meaning the Rams, couldn't do nothing with our defense, were you concerned, Jake, that as far as Jared Goff, his performance in the postseason, especially, you know, the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you concerned about him going forward?
No, I'm really not. I think, listen, I wrote the Rams off when Cooper Kupp went down. He was the straw that stirred the drink. No matter what anybody says, he was what made that offense go. And then all of a sudden they find C.J. Anderson, and you get this kind of jolt of life. But Goff played fantastic against the Saints, especially in the fourth quarter and in overtime. I mean, he really played very, very well. It's just, listen, it's his third season, Super Bowl. They had a great game plan, and the Rams really couldn't run the ball. The offensive line had trouble protecting, and they just couldn't get things done. And listen, Brandon Cooks, he dropped 2 touchdown passes. I understand they were good defensive plays. But this is what makes – listen, David Tyree, Mario Manningham, Julian Edelman against Atlanta, you make those catches in the Super Bowl. That's where you become, you know, legendary. That's when you win Super Bowls.
Yeah, it is, and you're not wrong about Brandon Cooks. I also think you mentioned, you know, how brilliant Phillips was for the Rams, and he really was. I thought McVay maybe started, and he even put the blame on himself after the game. I mean, they, you know, they're not going up to the line until there's under 15 seconds on, you know, on the play clock, so the all communication is off. Now, I thought McVay also did some things where he overthought the process a little bit too much too.
Well, that's the Bill Belichick phenomenon, because you worry so much, oh, my God, what is he going to give me? What is he going to give me that I haven't seen? And people panic and worry so much that they don't just kind of just play, just do what they normally do. I know going back to our Super Bowl, New England defense, that's what carried them. If you go back and look at the 0-3 New England Patriots, that defense was lights out. They were number one in pretty much most of the categories in the NFL. Well, Dan Henning, offensive coordinator in his mid-60s, had been with Belichick for years, and he said, listen, guys, they're fantastic. We're going to bang our head against the wall, and we're just going to keep doing it. Then we're going to spread them out, and we're going to tire them out. And we stuck to that game plan because it was an ugly game. And then all of a sudden, we made a little run before the half. Then it got ugly again. Then we spread them out, and we made, you know, a big run in the fourth quarter. And so many people, you worry about Belichick because, one, he's great, but they overthink too much, and they try to almost do too much instead of just playing.
And you're right about that. You're absolutely right. We're talking to Jake Delhomme, a former Panthers quarterback. Jake, what about, you know, what about the, you know, down in New Orleans? You played for that Saints team. You know, the Saints fan base, you know, the rule changes. You know, we saw what transpired in the NFC Championship game, Jake. If you had your druthers, do you think they should start reviewing penalties or having challenges? Do we put something in place to prevent what happened in the NFC Championship game?
You know what? I'd like for them to put something in place, but on the flip side of me, as a player, you wanted to get it right, but gosh, you just hate always. There's a review this, a review that. I mean, look, they review all scoring plays and all turnovers. That's automatic now, okay? That's one thing. And you want to get it right. I think the biggest thing for me is that in the NFL, the officiating crews do not work together all season that call playoff games. Is that correct? Right?
Right.
It's all-star crews. I think that's the biggest mistake, because you can't tell me the ref that did not throw the flag in the New Orleans game, if he would have worked with the other guy that wanted to speak with him, if they would have had a 15-game schedule during the season, because I think they got a bye, if they have a working relationship, he would have listened to him more. Maybe they'd never work together. You know, I have a problem with that. I think crews need to work together and work in the playoffs together, because you've been with that crew all season long. That's where I think that if there's one change, that's the change I would like to see.
Yeah, you know, that is a very, very good point, Jake. You know, two more before we let you go. Number one, to Pittsburgh and Antonio Brown. You know, you had playmakers down there in Carolina with you. I mean, Steve Smith was a hell of a wide receiver, Mushin Muhammad as well. When you look at Antonio Brown and how it has all fallen apart in Pittsburgh, if you're one of these other teams, say like the 49ers or the Colts, who've got a lot of cap space, the Jets have got a lot of cap space, is this a guy at 30 years of age that you're looking to bring in?
Well, you need playmakers to win, and obviously he's a great playmaker. And I played with a phenomenal playmaker in Steve Smith. But the only thing, it seems like there's a lot of drama. Now, does Ben add to that drama and everything else? I can't answer that. I'm not in that building. You would just like to get playmakers that can help you win, and you live with some of the maybe, I don't want to say off the field, but some of the antics, the whole assets and liabilities type of deal. How great are his assets compared to his liabilities? Well, you know, Steve wasn't like that. Steve wanted guys to catch the ball. Certainly he wanted the football. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
And we watched him play in Baltimore. And there's a reason Flacco wasn't good in the 2017 season. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Steve Smith wasn't there. He was the best receiver at 36 or 37 years old the year prior, coming off an Achilles. He didn't have help. Let's be honest there. And you want those guys that just want to win. And Antonio, I'm not saying he doesn't want to win, but it just seems like there's some issues there. Now, I don't know if it's quarterback related. Him and Ben don't get along, because that can be big. But playmakers win in this league, man.
No, they do. You're right. And he is a big-time playmaker. And, you know, Jake Tazza, we love watching him when you played, right? But you were also
one of
the great trash talkers in the NFL, too, yeah. when you got it going. Now, and we had Dontrell Inman in studio a couple of days ago. We were asking him about Philip Rivers with his days with the Chargers. He said, well, he likes to talk trash, but he never curses. Let me ask you, yeah. Jake, when you were talking trash and getting into it and getting yourself fired up, were you one that cursed a blue streak, or did you keep it pretty clean?
Let's just say I wasn't the cleanest. South Louisiana comes out in me. I play with a ton of passion and pride, and I don't mean any harm. It's just you go and play, man, and you just, you know, that's why you do this. You put in all those hours. You put in all that work. You only get 16 Sundays, so you go out there and you just let it all go, and, you know, sometimes maybe, you know, I might have asked someone about their mother or things like that. But listen, I didn't start it. I was not one of those starter types. I didn't start it. But if somebody wanted to, you know, we weren't going to back down.
Right.
That's well, that's awesome. It. You that's didn't awesome. Start it, Jake, but you finished it, right? There you go. That is Jake Delhomme. Hey, Jake, thanks for the time this morning. Have a great weekend, all right?
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate it, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.